यज्ञशिष्टाशिनः सन्तो मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वघं पापा ये पचन्ति आत्मकारणात्। भगवद्गीता 3.13। यज्ञशिष्ट आसीन, दिस इज वन ऑफ द मोर फ्रीक्वेंटली कोटेड वर्सेस फ्रॉम द गीता। इट इज यूज्ड टू कन्वे द इंपॉर्टेंस ऑफ ऑफरिंग फूड। लेट्स अंडरस्टैंड what it means in its context and how it applies in today's context. So this section of the Bhagavad Gita is talking about the terrestrial-celestial cooperation that underlies worldly existence. So just as when we live in a government, the government provides us utilities and we provide taxes. Similarly, when we live in the universe is a universal government, and we provide taxes in the form of our actions in terms of the sacrifices that we do. So Krishna, now the idea that we are dependent on nature is something which is at one level undeniably obvious. We need air, we need water, we need heat, light. At one time, scientists tried to quantify this, and they found that, so this is more than a decade ago in the Science magazine, researchers put together humanity's bill to nature. We take water, we take fruits, we take lumber, and we take so many resources from nature. It was astronomical. The budget, if we had to pay anything to nature, it would be just, no country would be able to manage to pay the budget. And that did not even count the charge we would have had to pay if we had to pay for energy in the form of sunlight. Just the sunlight bill for one state like Oklahoma in America would be more than the much more than the annual budget of America. So in a materialistic monetized culture, often it is when things are attempted to be monetized, then the gravity of the reality becomes evident at times. So we are factually dependent on nature. And we may say that exercise of monetizing our dependence on nature is just a fanciful exercise. But it isn't. Because nature doesn't work on its own. Nature works under a supreme being. Now, so when we work here and try to gain things and enjoy those things, we eat, we drink, and when we drink water, we eat food. We need this and we have to use them. We cannot live without them. And it is not that nature doesn't want to give it to them, these to us. But we need to recognize our dependence, acknowledge our dependence, and that we do by doing sacrifices. Yagyashishta asina santo. Santa, the saintly people, they accept yagya shishta asina. Yagya is sacrifice, shishta is the remnants. So they accept the remnants of the sacrifice, asina, accept. Yagya shishta asina santo muchyante sarva kilbishai. Kilbisha is contamination, sinful reactions. Muchyante, they are freed from all contaminations. On the other hand, bhunjate te tva agham papa. Bhunjate te, those who enjoy, actually agham papa. So they are actually engaging in sin. Agha and papa mean the same thing. So there is action and the consequence. So there is sinful action and a sinful consequence that comes from that. Ye pachantya atmakaranat. Atmakaranat means for one's own enjoyment. Here atma doesn't refer to self. Here, Atma, or self in terms of the soul, It Atma is used more in terms of the selfishness for one's own interest, not considering the interdependent, the higher world with which we are connected. One just takes what one wants and enjoys. Pachante. Pachante means to cook and then to eat. One who enjoys food for one's own purposes without offering in food, that person eats sin. So, in various cultures throughout the world, the bounty of nature is often accepted and celebrated with gratitude towards some higher beings. For example, a Thanksgiving festival, although its form may be transmogrified with the killing of the turkey being quite at the center, unfortunately, but still originally it was like a harvest festival which was meant to celebrate a bountiful yield of crops. In fact, Govardhan festival also was a harvest festival which was meant to express humanity's gratitude to nature and to divinity for having provided the gifts of nature. So essentially, the point in either case is that it's, if a person has even some basic level of consciousness, awareness, and if one is living close to nature, then that naturally that instinct to thank nature and to thank whatever is one's belief about the forces controlling nature, that awakens. Many tribal cultures also have festivals to celebrate the obtaining of food. In the Christian tradition also, there is a well-established practice of grace. Saying grace means that actually before taking meals, people thank God. And the principle of that is to acknowledge that this food is something which has been gifted to us by God. And actually, when we think about the millions of people who are starving, who go hungry, who are malnourished, we understand that actually food is a vital component of the grace of God manifesting to humanity. Now, by being grateful to food, to God for food, we, at least for which is needed for our existence, we begin our consciousness of God gets rooted on a strong foundation. Strong in the sense that not that we necessarily love God, but we understand that there are real gifts which He is giving me on a daily basis, several times a day. And that helps us to remember God. Now, the Vedic culture takes this principle of gratitude for food, which is either in the prayers of grace or in the harvest festivals, takes it further and formalizes it in the act of offering of food. So, in yajna, certain samples of the food are offered into the fire, and we'll discuss in the next verse how the fire, what is the rationale for offering something into fire. But here the principle is we sacrifice a portion of what we could have enjoyed for the as expression of our gratitude to God, and then the whole of which a portion has been offered, that becomes sanctified, that becomes yajna shishta asina. Now, yajna is essentially the principle of sacrifice. And that principle of sacrifice can be expressed not just by offering into the fire sacrifice, but But that can be expressed also through deity worship. That can also be expressed through chanting of prayers. So that principle is expressed through deity worship when we treat God as the person who is going to be the enjoyer of the food. And when we cook the food without tasting it ourselves, we offer it to Krishna in his deity form and then take the remnants. And such remnants, they not only are karma free, because Krishna is all pure and because we have offered it to him, so it has become purified, but they are also purifying. They are not only not contaminating, but they are purifying, because they are permeated with Krishna, contact with Krishna, they are permeated with Krishna's mercy. And such food will take us closer and closer to Krishna. So here, the principle that we talked about of offering food to God, or of acknowledging God's role in our food provision, in which is done in various ways in various cultures, that is, that expression of God, gratitude, has in a spiritually evolved sense manifested in the Vedic culture as the principle of offering. So we don't just treat God as the provider of food, but also as the enjoyer of food. So this is a much, much richer personal vision of God. So instead of just thinking that, oh God, thank you for providing me this food, think, oh God, I am cooking this food for you. You are a person and you are the enjoyer, and I cook for your pleasure. And after you take, I will take your remnants. And in that way, we very naturally and lovingly subordinate ourselves to God, and thus become bound in love with him. So that is the profound devotional essence with which we can see the principle of yajna. So we don't see this simply as a ritual in which something is offered in a fire, but as a way in which we can use our culinary skills and our prayerful attitude to make a wonderful offering for Krishna and see him as the enjoyer of the food and us as his loving servants who accept his remnants. Thank you.